That's our safety. I think the AC is disconnected, by the way.
It is.
So.
Because it's leaking. I'll show you where.
Okay.
Okay, I got 6:30, so we got a forum. I'm gonna call the Monday, December 7th, Lake Revere City Council meeting. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we are continuing to take steps to follow federal, state, and local guidelines regarding social distancing and crowd size. The attendance at city meetings is not essential. We strongly encourage you to listen to the meeting live via Zoom. So, with that, we will stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. With that, I'm going to start recognizing visitors. I'm going to start with Robert Whitman, a Shawnee resident, and also the election official for our area, correct?
Yes, I was the supervising judge for the Lake Wagera precinct. Lake Wagera precinct is just one precinct, and it encompasses the entire city.
Good. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm here with the blessings of the election commissioner who sends her greetings, Connie Schmidt, to express my thanks to the city of Lake Wagera for providing the city council chamber as a polling place for the both the primary on August 4th and the general election on November 3rd. I want to thank in particular yourself, Mayor Wilcha, City Clerk Kathy Bounds, Police Chief Fred Grenier, and each one, and anyone else who assisted in with the city, who assisted in making this a beautiful polling place to do. The room is great. It's perfectly sized. I hope we left it in the same condition in which we found it. The police chief in particular helped us out with some parking concerns we had. We had 11 people who worked the election. And as you know, the parking in front of the city hall is somewhat limited. So we made a special arrangement to have people shuttled from the community center. Three of the people who worked the election of my 11 are Lake Quivira residents, and one of them shuttled people to and from the community center both before and after the election, before we opened and after we closed. And we got here about 4:30 a.m. and we were out by about 7:45, and I hope we left the building as secure as it was when we came. We had 383 what we call perfect voters, which are people who came in, showed ID, were on the electronic poll pad that we used to verify voters, and combined with that, with the mail-in and in-person advance voting, the turnout in Lake Wagera was approximately 82%. I'm going by memory on that, but it was over 80%, which is phenomenal. And I really appreciate everybody getting out to vote on election day. That was for the general election. And that's about all I had, except I just wanted to express my thanks to the city and all those who assisted us having, you know, a great place to have the election, to have this precinct's election. And that's pretty much all I had. I don't really have anything else, but I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have, things that I might not have covered.
Well, first of all, thank you for the kind words, but I feel like we need to thank you.
Absolutely.
You're the ones that are here at, like you said, 4:30 in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. I came in and checked a couple times. Everything was running really smoothly. There might have been a little line out the door, but for the most part, it was better than expected. So thank you and everybody that helps out for doing that, especially that day, because that was certainly a long day. We were happy to accommodate and hope to continue having it here, because we love it. It's convenient for us, and we'll do whatever we can to help you.
Well, I appreciate that. Everything was ideal for us to be here. I mean, it has everything we need. It has everything. I mean, there's and the accommodation by the city was just phenomenal. So we're very grateful for that.
Well, it was our pleasure. We thank you. And Kathy and Fred, they were kind of the ones in the middle of it during the day. So we're happy to help. Anything you need in the future, let us know.
All righty. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. Anybody have questions for Robert?
No, my heart was like being stood up. I thought, oh, that would happen. So thank you. That was so nice that you came in to just say that was nice. And everything was good. I was like,
it was all good. I can't think of anything. I mean, I had a concern or two before the actual election, the general election day, but I raised those and everything just went smoothly for the general election, as smoothly as it did for the primary. I would wish every polling place would run as smoothly.
That's good to hear.
Yes, that's good to hear.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, appreciate it, Robert.
Thank you.
All right, no, thank you. Okay, now moving on to Kelly Thompson from Olson & Associates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yep.
Just a brief history. I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about some parking lot and city hall improvements that's run out here. But just real quick, how we sort of got the history lesson of how we got here. In fall of 2017, that's 3 years ago now, we did a entry improvements master plan for Lake Quivira. And I think the first phase of that has been installed, and that's all the monuments that you guys now have, the digital reader sign, and the pillars and fence around the golf course. We had several things in this master plan that we wanted to take a look at. Monuments was one, but another one was the kind of the entry sequence here at City Hall. And I think one of the first things we noticed was things get really congested over here at the entry. And the entry to the parking lot room right there is one of the things that compounds that problem. So we showed just a quick little sketch that moved the entry further north away from where it's at now to the other end of the parking lot, and kind of left it at that. Councilmember Best called me a few months ago and said, hey, we come out and look at where we're at with this. We're trying to get some bids for the parking lot. And so we came out and met and talked about it. And I advised her at that time that, yeah, this is all good and great. You could probably get this done by contractor, but your ADA ramps and parking spots are out of compliance. And if you're going to do the work on the parking lot, you probably got to get those brought up to speed.
Right.
We were hired to do basically three things. We did a survey of the area out front so we could get good, accurate information about what's out there. We did some different concepts for how the parking lot could be laid out. And then some preliminary engineering also to make sure the grades work and that we're in compliance with slopes and that sort of thing. So what you have in front of you is the concept that Dale and I sort of talked about last week and refined. I'll just run through real quick. Again, it does move the parking lot entry up to the north end of the parking lot. So it's away from the gatehouse and arm bars. So you come into the parking lot, you swing around, you got parking on either side. The thing that we tried to do here was keep the west boundary of the lot and the north boundary the same. So we're not really expanding any further. We're keeping those lines where they are now. The next thing we looked about, and Gail and I talked about, was how can we expand and have a more welcoming entry sequence to the building.
Mm-hmm.
So we have proposed to expand the concrete plaza out front. I'm sorry, I should have oriented you a little bit. The bottom of the page is the building, the top, north is up. Getting the handicap ramp up, you can see it kind of goes over to the left side of the page and around, and then it comes up, and both doors are connected by a level entry plaza. So the front will all be the same level. And in between the doors, that's an 8-foot-wide plaza space, so there's places to gather if you wanted to, put a bench, put some planters, whatever, whatever you want to do there. The main entry, there's three risers that come up right now. I think we'd probably keep that very much the same, three steps up. We made a little corner entry there at the main entry on the other end. Again, just to welcome people that are coming down the new sidewalk from the gatehouse and open that whole thing up. We included 5 golf cart parking spaces right at the front entry. Gail and I talked about it. We did several different concepts which aren't in here that we didn't supply you with that had some parking spaces up against the front of the building. And I think after we talked about it, Gail and I talked, I think we thought it would be best not to block the building with parking spaces the way we have it now. And in particular, we were out here Friday afternoon and there was a big truck right there and it just blocked the whole view of the building. So left golf parking up at the front. One of the concerns, and what I wanted to bring up with you guys tonight was, you currently have 16 parking spaces out there right now. With this reconfiguration, we narrow that down to 12 parking spaces. I didn't know if that was going to be a concern for you or not. We're a little bit constrained because we haven't moved 2 sides of the parking lot, remain the same, but we've pushed out the front of the building, so we've eaten into what is parking there now, and also lost the parking space that's out on the driveway side.
And one thing, Kelly, about why we limited that was your engineer highly recommended that we don't expand it, because once we expand it, then we, you know, are exposing ourselves to other construction issues.
Yes, so there's a, if you go over, you disturb over an acre, there's a lot more DNR stuff that is required. So we're trying to keep the project area pretty much limited to what we have out there now, or what's in front of the building, not without expanding one way or the other. We really can't go any further to the east because we're into the drive lanes. We could go further west, but we get up into that hillside, and you're going to get into retaining walls and that sort of thing. And you have to go quite a bit further west to actually pick up any more parking space.
Yeah.
So we left it sort of like it was. I do have a few other concepts that pick up a couple spots. I think the best one I had was 14 spots. We can relook at that if we need to. The other thing that it picks up is, you can see there's a new City Hall signage on the corner right when you come into the
real like that
lot entry.
That looks neat.
Mm-hmm.
The darker green areas on your plan are meant to be planter beds. Several of these are already existing. And then we're putting some turf, just some grass, not artificial turf, real grass, to open up that entry from the drive as you come in to the gatehouse. The big tree out here, the oak, is destined to go. You can see under the base map underneath is the survey that we did. So that's what we used at the base. So you can see underneath kind of in the ghosted imagery what your existing survey is.
Right.
The honey locust is in a spot where it can be saved. So we'll be able to keep one big tree out front if we want to. I think that really, one handicap ramp to get you up to the level. We got the handicap parking stall as close to that ramp as possible. pretty straightforward, but I think a big improvement overall.
So the idea, the other drawing that you had that added two extra spaces, how would you accommodate that?
So there was a couple different ways. We actually moved, one way of doing it is relocating the drive a little bit further to the south, so that you get parking along here, head-in parking along this end.
Right.
And after Gail and I talked about it, I was like, you barely are moving the drive at that point.
Kind of what we have now. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we kind of went away from that. And I'm happy to send you guys all the concepts if you want them. They were just really rough because I didn't want to put a lot of time into them, but I had a chance to talk and see which way you wanted to go.
And wasn't the other one, you had a couple parking places?
Yeah, we did try some head-in parking up at the front of the building. I think that picked up a couple, but it just, again, we went trying to go away from that so we weren't blocking the view of the building from the parking lot.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that pretty much concludes what I wanted to brief you guys on. I'm happy to answer any other questions if there's.
Did you want to chat just briefly about what you and I talked about without any design and stuff of how we talked about what the design of the outside of the building,
sure.
Some of our challenges and what we want to accomplish.
Yeah, so we didn't, I'm a landscape architect, I'm not an architect, but just talking with Gail about how to reinforce sort of the entry sequence out there. A couple things we talked about is adding new dormers over the two entryways into the building that would come straight out and kind of cover over the new plaza area. And make them fairly open with some nice posts that come down, and then it accentuates the two entries into the building. Go ahead and redo with the clay tile roof.
Right.
So it really makes the entries pop a little bit more. I think Gail had seen something on a remodeling show with some almost shiplap siding that could also be set back into the entries, uh-huh. So kind of fairly inexpensively. And it's natural wood that's stained, it looks really nice, but to give those two entries a little more pop as well.
Yeah.
The windows are kind of horrible, unfortunately. they're not pretty. And anybody, yeah. I think, would agree with that. You know, I don't know if you can put a divider, you know, if these were to be replaced and you actually put a divider down the middle and put two actual more commercial grade windows in there. I think it cleaned up a lot. The other thing I noticed, there's no articulation at all. It's just flat out the front. You know, like probably the clubhouse has at least what looks like a sill that comes out, something that makes it pops and gives it a little articulation. So those are just some of the things we talked about. I did a quick sketch that showed a dormer just on an existing picture. Gail, I'll send it to you tomorrow. But just something, you know, some other things to help with the overall feel of the entry sequence in the city.
Sure.
And the other thing we talked about was, because it really is, I mean, I hate to say it, it's a somewhat unattractive building. I mean, I don't think you guys would all agree.
Yes.
And it looks almost just like the golf shop, pro shop,
yep.
So they were probably built in the same era. But then, when you, and then we have our modern community center, and then we have our little gingerbread guard shack.
Yeah.
And when you actually, and it's like, okay, who do we want to be, mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, unless you were just to totally, completely redo this, and maybe end all kinds of things to get rid of the roof and, you know, really completely change the outside. And so that's what we were talking about, looking at the guard shack. And it's, I know it's going to get remodeled inside, but I doubt that it can't really probably be enlarged. I wouldn't think, and it's not probably going to change on the outside. And it actually has a somewhat of an interesting look as compared to the clubhouse. And then we're just, you know, sort of the stepchildren over here.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about from a design, if you really could, if we wanted to keep that old Lake Rivera look here, or try to at least have a little bit of it, we could bring in some.
Kind of try to use some of the detailing that's been used on the guard shack, because it is so much more robust than the City Hall building is. Just you trying to figure out, okay, what can we bring over to help pop out some of the same details and make them feel somewhat together instead of two completely opposite things.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the dormer idea, just something covered, is a great idea, and it's really not too expensive. I mean, you're you know, sawing into the roof a little bit,
yep,
adding some posts and yep, roof, and pretty simple there. And then I think, you know, if we do some sort of nice sign or monument right there, that's going to be the first thing people see,
right?
Whichever way they come in,
yep.
So that'll help out. I don't know what we're going to have planted here on this west side green area. I know we've got turf and stuff like that, but if we can keep that area, you know, down with some shrubs and nothing that gets real tall, then we can, then you can see City Hall and it looks like City Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think clearing out the pines that you have out there now,
yeah,
and getting rid of that rock mulch and just kind of beautifying some of that will go a long way towards opening the view up to the building and having,
yeah,
a better entry sequence there as well.
And just introducing grass.
Yeah.
You know, real,
yeah,
life grass, because you've got your bedding area,
right,
here and there. And then the other thing is to try to take this to a mid-century modern, because it's kind of, I mean, it, you know, it has, it could have,
yeah,
a little of that, but then you, not with a clay roof.
Yeah, that roof's only.
What do you think, Greg? I mean, you're in the building business.
I like how the steps, because right now when we walk up until we got our new door, it's like, which one's the front?
Uh-huh.
I like how the stairs are the primary door to go through. So I like the kind of not controlling the entry, but it kind of guides us more to the front door.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it does, it's unfortunate to lose four spots, but we do pick up five golf cart spots.
Right.
There's 11 of us in the room.
Yeah.
And we're sitting down this carpool. So we almost fill this whole parking lot.
Yeah.
Without the golf carts. But given the space we have, I guess Morris can park over by Fred.
Well, I was going to ask Fred his opinion on that, going from 16 to 12 spots.
The picking of five golf carts.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The concern I would have would be on court nights, if our court picks up to what it used to be. I know there had been court nights where people were parking at the gas station and they would have to park along the curbside here. And that, of course, is after employees and everybody else was parking around back to leave the free spots up front.
Really?
So that's the only issue I see. And again, we pick up the golf cart spots for election days, another high traffic flow day,
right,
which a lot of residents here would obviously come down in a golf cart, which I saw numerous golf carts come down.
Yeah.
So we actually pick up more spots if we look at it from that way. So I think the court night's really the biggest issue. But again, it's going to be when our court docket picks back up, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I don't foresee a big issue. Again, if it gets back to what it was, they'll just still continue to park at the gas station, or we'll move over to other parking.
Okay.
Will the signage be in tandem?
Yeah, okay, yeah, same sort of
light,
color of
exactly. Yeah. And
probably
then,
probably a mini. When we were going to do it before, it was going to possibly be almost a little mini version of the main, like where you're assigned, that has some, you know, the two,
yeah,
pillars and,
mm-hmm,
the, you know, and the brick and the slate and the whole nine yards.
What do we have in our budget for next year for something like this?
Well, this was going to be essentially a foundation,
yep,
okay,
project, or we were hoping to get funding there. That would be the whole thing. That would include we've got the parking lot that we need to take care of,
yep,
and then we've got the building, the front of the building, that. We just needed to get this design done so that we could proceed with the parking lot and then know that, okay, we're not going to have to undo the parking lot to do what we want to do in the building. And we were hoping to do this next year,
right,
on the building at part of it. And the parking lot, of course, would come first.
We have 15,000 in the budgeted part for building, and then there's still the 93,000 that are in reserves that we use for this as well.
So then we would have to bid this out, or is that something, we would bid it out ourselves? Okay. I mean, I think it's a great concept and plan.
Yeah, great.
I think you would really dress it up and look nice.
Kelly, would you be able to provide recommendations for some companies who you guys have kind of worked with? In the
contractor?
Yeah.
Do you have an idea, a rough?
I can get you some numbers, and I'd be happy to do that once the engineer takes a look at the grades and stuff. I can have him throw a rough estimate at you if that would be helpful.
That would be awesome.
Okay.
I know I got, when we started with what I thought was a simple little rectangle, and then the clay and, what is it, way and
some
people that just did the the work that we just finished up on our over there on the bridge, over there by the pond, they bid on it, and it was like, let's just say $15,000 or something. But they knew not, we didn't know what was underneath, and we really didn't know all the nuances, and that did not include the relocation of the ramp. This is a much bigger deal than the simple rectangle.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Especially if we want to also think about dormers or some sort of cover. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I like it. I think it looks great. I don't know if there's anything I would change to this. And I get what you're saying. If we went further west, just to add spots, it wouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
There's really no other place to add them.
Yeah, because you'd have to have another center.
You'd have to go quite a bit west to pick anything up.
Yeah.
But you could, a person could always do that, I suppose, in the future if this became a huge problem. But.
Okay.
I think the only thing that would also take into account for going west is all the electrical service going to the station.
Yeah.
I think that is just on this side of the lot. I don't know exactly where the lines are. Actually, that's either a relocate or whatever it takes to make sure those are safe. And if we're tearing anything up, it might be worth considering putting in future expansion to put anything else out that way. Because I understood some quotes in years past about running some hard cable for video system. It was very much cost prohibitive. If we're there, something to think about.
Yeah, that makes
sense. You do have the sanitary sewer line for this building does come in right out in this corner and kind of clips right off the corner of the parking lot and heads that direction. I don't know how deep it is. I wouldn't think we'd be getting into that, but it is a consideration also.
Okay.
For future expansion westward.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I like it. I think it looks really good. I think we pursue it. See where it goes, see what it's going to cost us.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Have another question for Kelly? Nope. All right.
Great. Thanks,
Kelly. Appreciate it. Okay. Bill Cole, you want to go ahead and do yours now?
Sure, I'll move to Kelly's group.
Bill and Tom have been digging in mud, digging in files, digging in storage and basements, and keeping us updated. So a lot of new information has come to light. So looking forward to it.
Okay, please interrupt at any time. I did this on the cuff. I was going to do this just for the presentation, but I thought the paper might be better for those that are at least able to follow it. And I think it's going to be up on the chart here. I think, correct? Okay, three things. Spillway Dam and Emergency Action Plan are the three things that would close out our project that we worked on beginning in September that you all approved. to try and come up with some conceptual ideas of the downstream park. Those were presented to you in the October meeting, a lot of excitement around that. We put that on hold pending the work that Foundation / Q Inc. was doing or would be doing, and handing it to them to get some consideration on that. So the other things we tried to do, if we go back in time to the November meeting, was finish our assessment of the East Spillway. And we use terminology here. East Spillway is the auxiliary one currently. West Spillway is the main one. And talk about projects, the dam, the embankment, seepage. We'll talk about, I recommended that and went ahead and worked on a technical dam history. It was neat. Kathy had the book from 2015 to 20, hidden in a drawer in here. She kept it in great self. PPM was the one place that Tom says, I can't find anything from 2015 to 20, and we went out and handed it to him. He has rebuilt it from 1929 to blank. There are four now files that have the entire technical history of the dam and everything that's been done to it. And that will be returned to Quivira, put into a file here, excuse me, the city of Lake Quivira. And we've also, we mainly heed that we have rummaged through all of QE's files up underneath in the
farmhouse
there on top of the house, the farmhouse. And we found and located all of the files that we needed to find for the property that the city of Lake Quivira owns. For instance, the culvert on the backside that you just fixed that traffic. By the way, great job, whoever got that done in terms of the, whoever did it, walk it and drive it, it's a wonderful deal. But that we need to have as a record. So we know what happened to it, if something breaks, where to fix it, I'll take the concrete. The same questions we're having on the scope. So anything that we've done will be placed there. The question comes up of, well, what about things like Duck Cove? That's not our property. That belongs with the Q-Wing.
Right.
The things that are ours, we need to make sure they're kept there. These plans that have just been discussed, when it's finished, those plans need to be put into the file. There's some recommendations on that. And that deals with the city infrastructure drawing and emergency action plan. Those are the items we're going to get to tonight. Please interrupt, like I said, with questions. East Spillway. As of today, thanks to all the information that we have, pending the last Thursday, we had the Olson people out. By the way, you approved that last meeting to shoot the elevations. We finally got that done last Thursday. A little bit of dancing went on, but Olson has gotten that. We need to get that information to Tom. But pending that fitting where Tom thinks it is, the conceptual plan for the East Spillway will become the main auxiliary spillway. And one of the good news he's been able to calculate is that, frankly, we don't have to do a whole lot of work to the existing facility there. We have to do work in front of it. And Olson, we've had discussions with Olson in detail and predicted what we expect from him. But Tom, this month, is developing a conceptual plan, better than back of the envelope, not good enough to build on. And then we plan on, with the city's permission, RFPing that enhancement to an engineer or a group of engineers to have them bid on it, win it, and validate what Tom has come up with. So basically it's, yeah, this isn't rocket science. This does look like it would work, like it would work. And maybe come up with some better ideas in terms of the weir that has to go in front or the spillway that has to go past that facility. But it would become the auxiliary and the main spillway. That is a plan that we're recommending. So the engineer review and confers and or states alternatives, and then we basically at that point take it to Tom's friends and Olson's friends at DNR and find out what we've done wrong and we got to tweak and hopefully get the state to approve it. Remember now, right now we have a state approved plan to fix the old spillway. They've approved that. And we're, you know, the original McClure number was about 800,000. I'm sure if that was a 2015 number, it's 1.2 million now. That we are avoiding doing. That's the intent. And what we're going to do is fix the 50-year-old, 60-year-old engineering product versus the 100-year-old. That's the recommendation. Now, if that occurs, future projects. Develop alternatives for retiring the West Spillway. The waterfall in the West, we need to give some thought to how much money we want to put into that. The West Side intersection improvements. The moment we close that spillway, we're not going to fill it, but we can cover it And we have then made that west side intersection a lot safer than it is today. And be able to get walkways to get people off the road on either side of it. But most importantly, existing stuff doesn't have to be messed with. We're just adding and moving the intersection back. So at that corner, Lakeshore would be wider. And at that corner, it would be opened up so that the walls we continue to fix, we hopefully won't have to. Okay. Or the chain link fence can be removed. Not changing, excuse me, the excellent, beautiful black fence. All right, abandon the west side as a primary spillway and not give any credit for our, from DNR, DWR, Department of Water Resources. So you can't claim it unless you're going to maintain it as a spillway. It will still be able to open, it will still be able to drain, depending on what we do running it downstream. We can make a waterfall there if we want, and that listens to some alternatives that Tom's got for a waterfall. But it also allows us, in emergency, to open up the valve and to get more water out of there if we had to, but you can't count. Okay? Develop an RFP to design a new spillway project in concert with the design of downstream park. So after the stuff above, and the engineers blessed it and said, this is a pretty good idea, you might want to do this, this, and this. But we have a conceptual plan. We need an RFP to build exactly what you had happen here. What are you going to do this building? I need plans. I got to have those plans to bid it to a contractor. That approach would be done. Incorporate our report that we gave you all to the downstream park plans. And then last, be prepared to do the dam spillway dam walk as separate. I have full faith that that Lake Quivira, the city of, and Quivira Inc. will cooperate to get both of them done together. I'm sorry, you got to have something done to fix the spillway, whether Quivira Inc. or not.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that we need to be prepared to say, okay, here's the bond we've got to borrow, and here's what we've got to do, and here's when we're going to do it, and here's what we're going to do. Now, you know, again, the council has some decision making to think about in terms of if you're fixing this place, and you're fixing that, and you want to be downstream dam, or downstream park fixed and some things, you might want to combine all of that into one, or you might want to, it depends on how you want to approach it. School district would fix things all over, right? We build a new school at the same time. Here you all ought to think about it. Or slowly, and you say, we're going to spend X thousand dollars and fix the spillway. Then we're going to fix the traffic over there and do something. Because we can do nothing to the west side as long as we get an operating spillway over here that works correctly. And we can still fix walls over there and have people running and things. You know, again, but we might think that that's something you all have to consider how you want to approach it as a project. Okay, so that's a spillway. Questions on spillway for now?
You said if we use the auxiliary spillway that we wouldn't have to do much work to that spillway.
We don't have to blow up a lot. He was looking at the flows that go over it and talking with the Olson people. And how did he get that? Well, we finally got the stuff from McClure, the information about our valley and how the flow that comes in, the stuff that DWR has done, that was done on the original emergency action plan from 2012.
Okay.
And those have been updated. So he's looking at that information and say, X amount of flow has to go through this. We have to do 40% of the maximum flood to be able to do that. Now, there's some downstream things that you can do to affect that, but you got to think about how do we get water out of that lake in an emergency. If you built this lake today, you'd have to put a drain in it, in your bathtub. So we would have to be able to have a hole that's directly below the start of the dam that you could open up and take water out in an emergency. And all major dams that are constructed today, this is a major dam, would have that. And ever since you all we have started talking about this, I just look out my window and go, what if it failed?
Yeah.
If you just stop and think about that, forget everything. I'm sorry, no offense, but the facade on here is irrelevant. Because for 5 years, we're what? Bankrupt trying to fix the mud pie we have in our, it smells.
You need a good opportunity to dredge.
Pardon me?
Great
time to dredge. And so you can float the bond to dredge a lake you don't own. Okay, so. All right, so it's a good question though. Spillway, did I answer it, Brady?
Yes.
Excuse me, Mr. Brady, did I answer it?
Yes.
So how does that, so when you move all that over here to the other side, to the east side.
Yes, ma'am.
So, and then the community center is just sort of up there perched on the hill, right? And then how does that impact you know, the road and the
So the road over it, no impact at all?
No. No, well, not
the road that slopes down the hill and goes and back to the tennis courts and the basketball court.
Right.
In my brain, there's a beautiful spillway, a enhanced spillway that comes all the way down, wraps around, and goes out on the creek, extension creek from Tule Creek, along Holiday Drive, and meets up with Tule Creek at the end. And what the great part is with the weir that he discussed with Olson, we can adjust that water flow to where it has a constant or a beautiful waterfall. And that walkway we talked about that was on the inside of Lakeside, you'll be able to walk across there and look down at a waterfall that's just outside of it. So there's stuff we have to do inside the lake. By the way, I said, how drained do we need to get? He said, probably where you are right now.
That's good.
So we don't have to do much more than that.
Okay.
How long does it take to do that?
We probably have a 2-month schedule for construction. How long does it take to get from here to there? A year.
So the lake has to be drained down?
The lake would have to, we would do it at a time when the lake is at this level. You know, let's assume the drought next year would be August. We could drain the lake a little early, or September or sometime, and do it from September until freeze. That's kind of the window that we would have to get the concrete in place. That's kind of a target in my head as to what we ought to think about trying to do. Then we've done it in the period of time that the DWR has allowed us to, and we can move forward with something. But we have to think about, okay, so right now, if you look at what we have in the I'm going to call it now the new name, the East Spillway, okay, how's that?
Perfect.
It's got, the water comes out of it, and if it is a large flow, it turns and goes down a spillway that Black and Beach designed after the fact that turns it into the soccer field. Okay? Everybody with me on this?
Yeah.
The problem is you get swirl and you are at the foot of the dam. And what does swirl do? What does water do when it swirls? It digs. And you basically are digging away at the, so there may be a whole bunch of things we need to think about where that's the emergency part of the spillway. And that's why I say we go straight ahead with the spillway that comes off that regularly runs. Okay? In my vision, as I'm on a machine upstairs, I'm looking down at beautiful water flowing down a spillway that follows the angle of that road with a nice wall that doesn't. And someday we'll get on one of those machines. But that's kind of what I'm saying. Other spillway questions? Okay. We'll go to the next one that I had, which was the dam and infrastructure. If you wait long enough, all problems will solve themselves. I've checked multiple times and the seep has stopped.
Okay.
Don't ask me how or why. I'll continue to monitor it. I didn't get the thing, so I went over there to install it. There was nothing coming out. Now, this was after the rainfall, and the whole dam has got a little play to it. So, you know, it doesn't solve the issue. And along that dam, we have a number of the dips that go on that may be telling us something for the future.
Do you think it has anything to do with lowering the lake?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think what we have is a spring underneath that has now lost its ability to drain by jamming over the years. And now it's just bubbling up when it gets to a certain amount of pressure. Might have been the lake level. Tom goes through it, you know, he goes through a few equations that I kind of look at like a company in the window.
Yeah.
Look at how that. The key thing is where the water is at a lake level. And you look at a dam, there's a line that goes down to where the foot of the dam is. And all through time, what's happening is that lower part is wet and the upper part is dry, and you have this type of action, which you don't want to have. That's what those drains are designed to do, is to get that water out.
Right.
Okay, 3-ring binders will be in your possession, and we'll have them in with Kathy in the store area. City infrastructure drawings requires the purchase of a rack that she has from Tom, an explanation of what it would take, but I'm not sure. We're probably under $500, probably a couple hundred, to do that type of thing, so that the drawings will be available here. An example, we have a major problem with the dam. Where are the drawings? You need to have them immediately, lay them out, et cetera, and be ready to operate with whatever you need to do on that dam. Questions on dam and infrastructure. And that includes all of the other stuff we own is going to also be there.
Did you guys happen to find, looking through all that stuff, any sort of bill of sale or anything like that?
there are plans, and there was a transaction that went on when a bizarre picture of a rectangle is owned by the city when it was formed. But I didn't see any contractual documents that showed it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have measurements on it. You're the proud owner of a rectangle that's somewhere on a drawing that somewhat resembles one end of the dam to the other end of the dam.
Okay. But you said you did find something that said that they own the lower portion, that Q Inc. does.
Q Inc. owns all of the area here. We only own the dam.
Just the river.
Okay.
Okay, in terms of how those play out. Emergency action plan. This is a major issue that we really need to get fixed. Because if we want to beg money from the state, we probably need a reason, and one of them would be meeting the emergency action plan guidelines. And it, don't blame McClure fully for not doing what they should have. There's a whole bunch of stuff we, since 1927, should be doing regularly. But what's occurred is I handed this to Tom with my corrections to it, and I handed it to Fred, and I handed it to Dean, and I handed it to Aaron. And I got my five or six things from those folks, and Tom wrote me four pages. You have to do this. Where's this? Where's that? And it has to do with what's occurred since 2012. Why? Dam failures. There's one in California that Kiewit just fixed, which was the highest and largest dam in America. Had a spillway just disintegrated. And they fixed the entire thing. That's an example of it. There are four in Michigan. There's one in West Virginia that was a private club just like ours that failed. And the problem that they had was they had not been doing what they were supposed to. We have somewhat of a paper trail that we have not been as diligent, how's that for a better way of describing it, as we should have been. So getting the things done. Like the other part that's happened is there's been an effort to countyize emergencies. Okay? Fred's bobbing his head right now. So that if we have an emergency at that dam, Fred is not in charge of it. There is a county party that steps in, and then they assign who's in charge of it, I think is the easiest way to describe it, depending on the emergency, whether it's COVID, or a hostage situation, or a dam blowing up. You know, we are in the problem of having both counties having some responsibility. The water is in Johnson County, and the dam is in Wyandotte County. And one county is extremely active at making sure the rules are followed. Never guess which one. And the other one, who owns the dam, is slightly less diligent until blank happens. And when it happens, where is the stuff you should have?
Does that help us with the state?
Pardon me?
Does that help our cause with the state?
The way it would help is, remember that plug I talked about? Olson brought this to our attention. Because we don't have a plug, they may help with some of our enhancement of our amount of water we can get out of the dam and have some state funding for that. Okay, there is Johnson County money galore. Gardner just did theirs for Gardner Lake. And they did this whole game, got $500,000 out of the county for this. We can't, because guess where our dam is? Even though the water is that causes the dam is in Johnson County. But he says there's some state money, and that may be one of the avenues that we proceed. We can't go do that until we have a solid, what, emergency action plan. So one of the things we're trying to do, the Foresight Solution will update the current required content. That is new work. You don't have to have us do it. I'll be happy to have you hand it to somebody else. But that's one thing. And then submit it to a current dam inspector. We do not want to change our dam inspector now, because when you change a dam inspector, what's the state ask?
Emergency action plan.
Why did you change the dam inspector? Okay. Well, we didn't like what they said. We want to find something. Okay. So we need to stay with McClure/SKW as our dam inspector, at least through this cycle, especially with an EAP that's been updated.
So for now, forget about changing.
For now. The second thing is, again, speaking candidly and not for the record, if Olson wins the design on this thing, you're in better shape if the dam inspector is different than the dam designer. Can I follow that?
Mm-hmm.
So these engineers get greater employment. Nope, I'm just joking. But it's because there's not a conflict of interest. If I follow that, they have the opportunity to do their job. Coordinate with current dam inspection. Need to remain with the current dam inspector for this cycle. Now, if we find McClure wins the bid and has a phenomenal design staff, which we have not seen in any of our discussions with them in terms of dams. And we have been impressed with Olson's. It's not Black and Beach, but it's also not Black and Beach's price. Okay? And they know what they're doing. At least that's what we got out of the two conversations that Tom's had with them and the meetings that we've had with them. By the way, none of that's in the record, I hope. I don't want it to be.
Oh.
Can't work that way.
It doesn't work that way? Okay. Well, I'm candidly stating So we will bid that work. Now again, we can, it's a design contract on the first one, so we can choose someone based on what level of competence they have. And either one of those two would work. Black and Beach would work. Any of them would. Put it out there for bid. Contractors, we have the same ability, but we want to make sure we've got the correct price when we do this.
I know you said it is not completely McClure, FKW, whatever you want to call them's fault, but they probably should have had some type of idea that we were not up to date on this since they were our inspectors, right?
Let the record show that's correct.
Thank you.
Especially since we pay them, you would think they would want us to
pay them, and they are on a state list, yet they,
All right. So you might get to this under the emergency action plan, but in one of the emails you talked about a first responders that are volunteer fire department.
Yeah, that we had a fire department, and they were members of this first responder. Now, did we train them in how to open the gate? I don't think so. Did we train them as to who was going to be on each side of the dam, who's responsible for traffic control? We need to do every year an exercise.
Yeah.
I mean, you might think about that. That's great.
And you had mentioned, and Robert, you're welcome to stay. Some of this gets a little boring, so we get a lot of people, you know, coming in for the public forum, and then once we get into this exciting stuff, they kind of wander out. So you're welcome to stay, however, if you want to take off. You're not going to offend any of us.
This actually sounds interesting.
Okay. Well, anytime, you're welcome to. So this group of first responders... Citizens, Q Inc.
Yes,
cities,
yes.
Everybody.
Something like that. And this goes back to, we need a, Tom, and I think has absolutely dead on. If whoever cares about that dam, we should have a joint committee running that dam. So if John Christie is the, or myself, is the city's representative, who's the representative from Q Inc.? And who are the five people that care the most about that lake or that dam that live here? And then that's a recommending committee that deals with any of the other things we're talking about.
The way him and I discussed it is that you probably want a representative from the BZA.
Uh-huh.
You probably want something from Lake and Residential so that you have a queuing type of rep.
Okay.
And then another two, like appointed at large type of
rep. It's either that or I'm writing into the city council members. It's
right.
One of those two. You guys.
So at one point we had talked about with the whole downstream park area about putting a committee together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Could that possibly be the same committee?
I think it's the same thing.
Okay.
Because if you do a great park and you don't have the dam under control, I'm sorry, the dam is
your problem.
It's a park.
Yeah.
We have an issue there. So the first thing is, do you want Foresight Solutions to continue and finish the EAP? That's the first question, I think. And no, I don't have a price. It's under $10,000. It's probably $5,000, somewhere in that range. Or we give it to the engineer to do, and that's McClure. And I'm okay with that being the case. The problem is they're going to rebuild all the parts that Tom has talked about so we get it done the way that it should be done. And I think we would get more effective delivery with someone who's done one of these somewhere else. McClure admitted that they have not done as much. This is a map. They have not done as many of these, but also Olson does it. I'm trying to create a competition environment where Olson realizes, wow, we need to get more work here, and McClure realizes, wow, we need to protect ourselves and get busy on helping.
Right.
That's what I'd like.
Well,
who's
your
gardener?
Olson.
I would defer that, you know, to get your opinion on what you think we should do. I mean, are you saying we should go stick with McClure?
I think we should not stick with McClure because we can do it, I think, more inexpensively for the most part, and then we hand it to them and say, if there's any problem with this, let us know. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't have to be stamped, but they have to file it because they're the what? Dam inspector.
Gotcha. Okay.
For the dam, whatever they call it, inspection, let's call it that.
Okay.
And so we can talk about that. We're working on it right now just because we've got to fill the hole. So I need to take Fred's recommendations and get him in there, get the name switched, the phone number switched, get it done to the county level, which doesn't show at all. And there's interaction with the county that Fred can do, but he's got a few other jobs. Some of these things, and Tom knows the guys in the DFDWR that approved this thing. That was my only reason for suggesting it.
I think you guys just keep going. You know where everything is. You found all this. You've done all the legwork.
And then the second one is just the RFP. Basically, what Tom's going to do is conceptual design of what that thing should do. he would make the RFP that we would hand to McClure and to Olson and to Black and Beach and to Burns McDonald and to any other engineer who thinks they can do it, and get a bid for, or get them to respond to that with a proposal for, we're going to look at what Tom did and see if it makes sense or add a better idea to it. Once that's in place, I hope to get it, that's by a price, one of those engineering prices that means very little, but at least it's on the paper. And then that's what we could take to DWR and go, okay, this is our new answer to this. What's your thought? And I think with both Tom and X, whichever that engineer is, we can get that accomplished. And then once that's done and DWR is approved, that's when we would go RFP for total design. And that's the point where you all need to think about, is there walkway on? It'd be pretty good to do the walkway at the same time. Oh, should we blow up that? There's a phase of extending the spillway, a phase of doing the walkway, a phase of what do we do with old spillway, retired spillway. All those things could all fit into it as certain phases. We do it over time or we do it all at once.
Right. And how to pay for it.
And how to pay for it.
Yeah. Okay.
Questions?
Have you been nicer to Tom?
Yes.
Good. We were concerned.
The Olson guys were very impressed that he designed the original spillway. I use that joke one more time. And
thank
okay.
you.
Any questions for Bill?
All right, so we will continue, and I'll have him start on that RFP.
Yep.
I'll get with the.
Thank you.
Sorry. And get with the conditions we need to put on.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. You're having a lot of fun.
Thank you, Robert.
Hey, we're just getting started.
You're like, no, it's not a dirt thing.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to consider approval of minutes from November 2nd. Everybody have a chance to look over those?
Yeah, there's only one thing I saw. It's the tree trimming. Is it Evergy?
It's supposed to be Evergy.
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 Yep, I saw that too.
What did it say?
It's Evergy, I think, Kathy. Evergy.
Okay.
And they were supposed to start that this month, right, Aaron? December?
That's what I heard. Okay. I saw him in parts of Shawnee towards the middle of November, so I was hoping he kind of mentioned moving northward.
Yeah, I thought so too. Okay. Well, I'd entertain a motion if the minutes are good other than the energy.
I make a motion to approve the minutes of the November 2nd, 2020 City Council meeting.
Okay, got a motion to approve the minutes. Any seconds? Okay, any discussion?
I abstain since I wasn't here.
Good idea. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. And it's approved. Did you hear that Greg abstained from the vote?
He abstained.
Yeah, because he wasn't here.
Oh.
All right. Aaron?
Hi.
Treasurer's report.
All right, so for this month, we were 100% above budget for revenue. Lots of that having to do with building permits. We are now above our budget for that. Also being above a little bit on some franchise fees that we've received. Takes us to 4.5% above budget for the year. We were over budget on expenses. A lot of that will be, some of it has to do with some payroll type expenses that were over, but a lot of it will be alleviated once we receive our next payment through the CARES Act. So it takes us to 3.2% above budget for the year, normally where we are in this time since we lose a lot of wiggle room in December. So not a concern to me at this point at all. So looking at some checks wanted to talk about. You'll see on page 2 that we paid our check to Shreddit for the event. You will see on page 4 the weigh-in funds for the road repairs. Another one I wanted to mention was Get Connect Tech. That's right below weigh-in funds. That's one that Dave McCullough found for us to contract with for the tech updates that will be here in the council chambers for CARES Act funding. And then that was it for checks. We did receive about $2,500 from Johnson County from CARES funding. You'll see that from the deposit record on page one in that $9,000 deposit. And then there was one journal entry, and then you will see the credit card details that's attached.
How long does it typically take to get that reimbursement for?
So normally the first one that we got reimbursed was an ACH. So they put it into our account, sent us a letter about it afterwards.
Okay.
The next one that they sent us, this one, was a check.
Yeah.
So we had to wait for the check to come, and then the one we should have been paid back last week for one, but we were not because they did not meet. They meet on Thursdays. So even though our total amount has been approved by the county Board of County Commissioners, we still have to run individual expenses by them at their Board of County Commissioner meetings. So since they did not meet on Thanksgiving,
gotcha,
that was pushed back to last Thursday. So we just got another deposit this past Friday. But now it's moving fairly quickly.
Okay.
So they have changed the way that they're doing it. All of our projects that we applied for were approved.
Wow.
And any of those we are still submitting. But a bunch of the cities were concerned about possibly not meeting the December 30th deadline with some of the projects that they're doing.
Yeah.
And still wanting the money to cover projects and other payroll expenses, especially mm-hmm. related to police, fire, and EMS that they've done through the year. So we are now taking a different approach. I was contacted by the county last Thursday. I am sending him our police payroll records from the start of stay at home through next Friday. And they are taking that in order to justify just giving us the money.
Really?
Yes, so that if for some reason we don't finish any of the projects in the time period before the 30th, we still have justified it in a different way, but the funds are still in our account.
Wow. Okay.
So they are hoping, and he did not want to specify that we would be possibly getting a little bit more, but they're doing all of that by Friday. All of the cities have to submit all of the first responder related payroll records by Friday.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to pay out all of the money to us by the Friday before Christmas. They think that they're going to have, we're in phase one is what cities are considered. There's other jurisdictions besides cities that are also in phase one. They think that some of those may not be using all of their funds. So if they turn those back in, they have until the 30th to figure that out. They said there is a possibility that we could receive more money in January, possibly, once they see what they've gotten back. And that we've already sent them the projects that we're doing related to it and the payroll expenses.
Right.
So they can't guarantee us that they'll be able to pay all of that stuff out, but there is a possibility since they'll already have all the documentation.
Really?
So that's where we are.
Okay.
If that makes sense. This was like a complete and total about face in meeting with him last Thursday.
Wow.
And then so say if we were to get extra money, then the stuff that we, you know, purchase that uses that money, does it all come out under the CARE rules?
Yes, yeah, so it would technically go to pay for, like, we're getting our $45,000 that we were done, and we have already submitted $45,000 worth of this is what we think we're going to spend it on. A couple of those things they denied, saying that it was not CARES related, but then they're going to take that number, which for us is around 43, plus the payroll number, and then out of there come up with something based off of, I have to send them March through December of last year and March through December of this year to compare the two.
Hmm.
And they'll look at the differences. Yep.
Sounds confusing, but I trust you.
I completely agree. Believe me, this is like, he was like, the county representative was very quick in his discussion about it. And he was like, okay, so that all makes sense. And I was like, sorry. A little bit of an about face, but like I said, panic.
Yeah.
Panic at the 11th hour.
Yeah.
I'm not shocked about that. Our city manager listserv has just been blowing up with people panicking about not getting their projects done and why some of the larger cities are getting payroll expenses and able to do projects, whereas the smaller cities are having to focus it more on projects, and it's not even projects that we invented, it's things that we needed to do, but just
uh-huh.
never had the funding for it. That
right.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Makes sense. Okay.
Yep. You never know.
All right. Anything else, Aaron?
Nope.
Any questions for Aaron about the treasurer's report?
Do you know what month we're through on mowing and landscaping? Because we're so, if I'm reading this right, we're so under our annual budget.
We are. Let me, yes, I did. I want to triple check that I have this information correctly. But I believe we have paid through October.
Through October, meaning the September invoice that you got in October, or the October invoice you got?
The October invoice that I received in November,
okay.
we've already paid. Yep. And so, but remember, they
missed July.
Never charged us anything for July. They
right.
completely skipped it. So we have paid January through April, and then May, or I'm sorry, January through June, August through October.
Okay, so we still have two, well, we really have 3 months if we ever get billed.
Yep.
And still, that'll be significantly, well, I guess we'll see what it is, but it.
I think you're right, though. I think it'll still be.
Yeah, I think it'll be much
lower.
Less than it
yeah.
normally is.
So,
and remember, much less than last year, because last year was the year that they didn't charge us the year before, and we had to pay 18 and 19 and 19. So,
yeah, it's just, it's too bad that we couldn't, and you know, we're not going to get this project, the
yes.
project, you know, we could, because we know that there'll be some landscape shrubs and, you know, trees or some things, and of course all the sod and all of that. That could have been
the only thing I was thinking about. Do you, if you want to do, he was talking about the removal. If you wanted to fit the removal of the tree that he said for sure had to go
okay.
in this month, that would be one that I would definitely recommend. Does that make sense?
The old tree, you said that was...
The big one that's right smack dab in the middle of our...
That's not going to hurt Fred's feelings, blowing all those leaves
no.
and stuff off.
The tree ordinance team
yeah.
might have a cow,
yeah.
man.
Well,
yeah.
But I don't know. It's
an iffy.
It's iffy anyway. And the tree that is the good one to keep, I understand, is the one that you will be keeping. Which is the one on the end.
I assumed that one. Yeah, when
yeah.
he said there, you could keep it or not, I assumed we would keep it.
Yeah.
But
being that's an oak tree, isn't there some companies that would rather harvest that and pay us for it?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They may be worth checking into.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Oak and walnut.
Hardy.
Yeah. I heard an interesting
even if it's a break even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Bigger residents had done harvested, and I don't know what the trees were, set all the wood out for the company to come pick it up, so I have a contact I'm giving you that. Someone came in and stole the wood before the company could pick it up.
No.
Yeah. So, anyway, but I have a name. Okay.
Were they selling it or stealing it?
No, they were selling it. Again, it's a harvest.
Oh, Fred, and they have to store the wood.
Yeah,
they have
security around the wood.
Maybe also the Pittsburgh police report.
There's a developer in Lansing
that bought a whole bunch of land for $100,000 and sold the lumber for $250,000.
Oh my God.
He's that much.
He's like, so.
Well, a lot of trees. Was it yeah.
Walnut? A lot of walnut and oak, I think. Yeah.
Oh, wow. And this tree, Danny, is pretty close to the building.
Taking the village, we can make our site for the building.
That was a rumor.
Oh, yeah. Can you harvest the siding for the ship?
Yeah. Have it milled.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Police chief's report.
Why not? You'll start with my report.
Oh,
sorry.
We got a food and treasurer's report.
If you so choose. I'm sorry.
I move to approve the treasurer's report.
Okay. Got a motion to approve.
Second.
Greg seconded. All right. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Treasurer's report passed. Okay, now on to Chief.
Everybody right received my report if anybody has questions?
No, it was fairly short.
Yeah, it's just a short team. And I don't have anything else to add, so.
I don't know if you guys if you read that email from the resident about Officer Tennis. I thought that was nice. He
always nice to get a compliment.
Yeah, we had a resident who's in the hotel business, and he needed some fingerprinting done for him and some children to get a liquor license in Alabama. One of Fred's hires, Officer Tennis from City Shawnee, was able to accommodate him over the weekend, it sounds like.
Yeah,
on Saturday, yeah. So, anyway, got a nice email about that, so well done. Always nice to hear that. Okay. Michelle Day, City Attorney Report.
I had a couple comments on that second item under new business, but otherwise.
Okay, yeah, I figured we'd get you new business. So. Okay. On to City Council Reports, Areas of Responsibility. Jerry, you got anything?
Nothing new on the guardrail. Just keep hearing we're working with an engineer on it.
Okay.
I was going to work on for next year, and it's our last council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
We have more in our budget for roads, so I was going to get a couple of bids. Unless anyone else had any ideas. One of the things brought up was the clear lane that road. Mm-hmm. So it's very patchy.
Yes, I thought yes. And a key road that really looks horrible for our entrance.
Yeah, especially over the weekend I saw there was a number of cars that pulled in the practice facility. And it is very patchy.
It is. Something to think about. I don't know if it would fall into roads, but last meeting we had a resident talking about the speed limit and street signs. I know Fred's looked into this in years past. Would that fall under roads? Or?
It doesn't matter.
I'm pretty sure that's where we classify any replacement road signage.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, almost every, I'm sure, street sign is rusted and just ugly looking.
Yeah.
And the majority of the regulatory signs could use to be replaced.
Okay.
There's a few that I've put up over the years, but again, I'm sure everything's probably at least 3 to 5 years old since I've done that.
Yeah.
Is that primarily quarter lane you're talking about? Or just
No, throughout the whole city. I think every sign could used to be replaced throughout everything on our roadways.
And I actually thought maybe this was falling under the beautification, which I actually started looking into this today. But what I thought needed to happen first was to, rent a road. Oh my God, and just rent a road itself. The road is bad, you can't see this. There's so much trimming and all this stuff, and signs that are wayward. I thought the first step would be to do an inventory of all these signs and maybe just take pictures of them. But, I was online today looking at nicer posts, where that up-to-date, more higher income level cities or whatever have posts that aren't just the, the posts with all the holes in them that actually won't rust and will look nice. And you know, the signs are always pretty standard, you know, but anyway, I was...
I think, you know, I don't know if replacing all of them with the modern...
No, but some, maybe the ones that get closer to us.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, absolutely.
Because...
And, you know, Gail, I just had enough to mark
very much so. There's those speed limit signs every 50 feet, probably, for a little step up on the
proposal, not this year, the year before, to change. This is on street signs, like signs, you know, like, you know, terrace trail glass or whatever. Possibly the mailboxes and posts and just other signs. And then we were, I think, going to, but they never got their budget. That was never approved.
I guess my only comment is, if we're going to do something, that we make sure that coordinate, is that whatever we do is coordinated. I mean, it doesn't sound like it's in their budget, but.
Which would be similar to kind of, what we live with all the signage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The only exception to that, I think, all the road signage has to be compliant with traffic regulations for that speed. So,
but the post is, you know, the sign
the post
itself.
As well. The posts, I think, have to be some sort of breakaway.
Uh-huh.
So, although I would personally probably like to see a cedar 4x4, if that meets the traffic regulatories for breakaway, then we would be good. But
or you have the cedar right here.
I'm sorry?
Or you have the cedar right here.
I just think it would look better than a rusty T-post or whatever 5 years from now.
I'll check with Dean, because I could have sworn at the last board meeting they were talking about it, or was it at a foundation meeting they were talking about it that Dean brought it up, or?
He mentioned it here.
Or here?
Yeah. He mentioned it when he came last time to here.
I'll check with him.
Because it was Paul Welcome, you know, that brought the whole thing up.
Right.
He's brought it up multiple times.
Yeah.
And as an appraiser, I think he thinks of that as actually just making the whole community look much better and increase the value just overall.
Yeah.
Or something somewhat minor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I'll check with Dean and let you know. Mm-hmm.
And I'll forward you the emails from Gail, or not from Gail, from Mark.
Yes.
The
street signs, which are your beautification thing is a good point.
Yeah.
I would have just put it right in the old slide.
Yeah.
But I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Fred has a website for the signs themselves.
And if there's another municipality that has street sign posts you think are decorative, reach out to them, say, hey, where did you get this, and make sure they're in
the
middle of compliant.
Yep, bills.
Right. Yep.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Greg. Annie?
Let's see, a couple of things. One of the items that Kathy and I are working on, which she had a good head start on, was a brochure or some documentation that outlines city things that were going on or that were unique to the city, dog registration, all this information. She has, I should just let her speak, but she said go ahead and speak. Because she's done all the work on this. But she met with Lisa at Teaming, and they have a very comprehensive orientation packet. So there was a small section of the city, but Kathy's going to just supplement that information so that it looks and feels the same as the other data, which is right on. And then if we need to pull something out to have here, she'll have something here available. But the chances are pretty much it's going to, the bulk of the information is for a new homeowner who needs information. So that's moving forward. I think I think that was a good, currently sort of, I think that's a good resource for one another. Let's see.
Dave and I are on the Architecture Review Committee, mm-hmm. and if you put something in there for permits as well, for
we're working on that section. Okay. I actually started on that today. Yeah. So both an understanding that both the city and the HOA have regulations, and it's imperative that you contact both entities to make sure that you have to get the appropriate approval. Something that I've
Arthur Bopper has a saying at the beginning of every meeting about we're separate from city, and make sure you contact Fred. Sometimes those people get confused.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Well, and Fred updated that one Excel spreadsheet that's phenomenal. It's got that rewrite background, different people, and it really spelled out.
And I got some feedback from QInc. Just started that as well. So there will be another revision coming up shortly.
Okay. Will you send that to me again as well?
Sure.
I thought that, yeah, you did a good job on that. Yeah. That was cool. I also told Kathy just today to ask Erin if she can think of anything else to add to the city section that's going into QInc.
Okay.
I'll send you what I have.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. We never got the packet when we moved in. That's
You never got it?
No.
Two phone calls.
We never had a, they never gave us a packet when we moved in. Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing, I think so, we're not just starting the next subject. So we've had a couple of meetings for the celebration, 15th anniversary celebration. And we're still trying to nail the date. There's fewer and fewer dates now to Clubhouse. I'm beginning to realize. So she's checking on the last two. We're looking at a fall event. And the idea here is to get a save the date out before the end of the year. Kathy's starting to put together the master list of all the former mayors, get their addresses, as many as we can, former key officials of the city, you know, former police chiefs, maybe fire, just a couple of the key people that have really been a big part of getting the meeting moving forward. And then we're going to do a sit-down dinner in the ballroom is the plan with an outdoor bar and band out on the patio. And with fireworks, of course, my school is involved, so we are doing fireworks. And then one of the other things is, I don't know if all of you are familiar with that Quest for Quivira book that my oldest dad published years ago. So I've had a couple conversations since with Kathy Simpson. We're trying to see if we can get some individuals who are interested in historical data to help update us and get that book up to current. So that, and that was the whole purpose when he made that book as a three-ring binder, was for someone to continue that. So now, whether we choose to sell those as an item board, or if we just reproduce them, and that would be another potential item that a new member could get, which I think is a good thing because it tells a lot of the history. So anyway, bottom line is we're making progress on the celebration, at least getting the date out there and stuff, and we'll meet again. We just had a hard time getting everything together, but that's moving forward. The tree ordinance committee, we met right after the last meeting, and we had a really good meeting, I thought. And I have since had conversations with Joe Bartels, who is really the one who's been kind of masterminding the Tree City USA designation. There's four different things that you have to meet to be a Tree City USA. I'm not sure we're meeting all of them, but I think we can get to that pretty easy. There are two ordinances that Michelle brought to our attention that are out there that were never ratified and came to fruition, but they're out there as they were started. One,
I do think they were adopted, but I don't know that there was ever a board. Did we ever find that there was a board appointed? So I mean, I think those were in place, so they are actually in effect, but.
Yeah. And it's basically just kind of the bones of infrastructure. So I'm thinking we could probably make those work if this is the team that chooses to be the board. I mean, we just ask them to come together for a committee, so that requires a little bit of legwork, I think, to get them to buy into that. But we all are right now gathering information. I think one of our first products is going to be some sort of a trifold brochure that just provides information about, you know, we're a tree city, what's it mean, why do we care, what does that mean? And then some of the other, like, there's tons of natural resource committees, groups, things going on up here that we could just spell out. Trails committee, sanctuary program, garden club, the orchard, bird watching, the bluebird boxes. I mean, those are things that we can just, and this would be a pamphlet that a new person would get just to help one more thing that they can get in front of them to help create this awareness that we're, you know, we need to preserve our trees up here. These are all the reasons. So this would be the first, maybe the first of a series. Then the subsequent ones would be more informational around what are some good trees that you would want to consider planting out here? What kinds of would you find out here? What are some good care and maintenance things? Just things to just, again, raise awareness of trees, the trees. And then probably we can expand this out to depending on how far we want to go. But I think we're making good progress. I think this is really the best way to approach this for now, because I honestly feel like people are just not educated. They think they know. When they move out here, they know that this place is special, but they don't really understand that means being able to sit in the middle of the lake and not see another house out there in the middle of the summer. They're not thinking that way. So I think we have an obligation to just reiterate, help them learn what we all is important to everybody. But,
and is Todd Towery on your committee? Because I know,
Yeah, he's a critical. Okay. He didn't come to the meeting, but he's just started. But he's the one who took all the information from the guy before and kind of manages all that and is really responsible for a big piece of the Tree City USA showing.
That's Lori was the person that did it.
Lori was part of that too, yeah. So I haven't met with him yet, but we will. That would be one of the fall to follow up for that. So, I think that was all on that. My last item was I haven't moved the security camera forward too much more. Fred and I are working with his last, whoever did the last set of cameras, we're trying to get them to kind of flesh out code a little bit so that we can have more of an apples to apples. Right. Still in contact with Doug from the one place, so he's still ready and willing. And then I need to circle back with Ray. It seems a little overwhelming. It's just a bigger project than just a camera. Maybe I'm making too big a deal out of it. Maybe just get the camera, but I do think Ray's got some good things that if we can just carve out some time with him, we can make this thing work.
Yeah.
And really look at it the way we should be looking at it. Yeah. But I don't want to keep pushing this down the road.
Well, I love the Cuesta Quivira idea.
Yeah.
A new book like that, that'd be awesome. I still love reading that, looking at it. The pamphlet idea I think is great. I think it's really important, like you said, to educate and inform people and just make them aware because, if we do end up with a tree ordinance, it's going to be extremely hard to enforce depending on what's in it. So I think first and foremost, I think just educating people and getting them on board with what we're about.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good way to start.
Yeah, I think the two review, the architecture review board and the other Lincoln Residential. They're trying to do everything they can to educate.
Right.
What are some expectations of landscaping? When you build a house, that should be part of the plan. You're going to plant X trees or whatever, so we can have these brand new builds with no trees around them.
Yeah.
On the architecture review committee, we've had the discussions on trees, and it's challenging sometimes when people are buying a lot for $600,000 and they're having to max this thing out because we basically have to buy a house, tear it down, and end up with this lot. Trying to maximize their size. So some of those men out of Terrace Trail West, some of those lots are a little bit tighter. Those ones, it seems to be where all the teardowns have been here lately.
Yeah.
Three now on that street.
Those are the originals.
Yeah.
And they're having to max out the variances on their widths and depths and heights anywhere they can to justify that cost. Because we've been talking about trees, trying to salvage every one of those, but the flip side, you're trying to maximize what you can put on there.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a fine line.
Yeah. It's tricky. And as far as the camera goes, the camera thing started just because we had this great yard waste recycling area and cardboard and all that, and glass, and we were finding microwaves and lawnmowers,
mm-hmm.
and people dumping stuff, and it was just out of frustration. How do we enforce this and catch people and do something about it? So stay on top of it.
Yeah, we will. Well, it'll move forward.
Is someone been cleaning that area up more this year? I knew you've been down there.
Yeah.
It is night and day difference this year to last year.
It's pretty bad right now. Anyway, thank you for that.
We also cut out the middleman because we were having whoever the queuing person was.
They weren't emptying as much.
They were the ones who were calling when it was full.
Yeah.
And since it wasn't really their responsibility, they weren't really calling as quickly as they probably.
was
down there last weekend, and it was plenty of room for more stuff. It was not full.
Yeah, so we've passed it off on the officers are updating Kathy now. If it looks like it's getting
and I need to use Todd and Dean when it's full, like after a weekend, they won't haul it away if it's over the
yep.
The top, and so they will go in and just smash it down with one of their
lawnmowers.
Yeah, throwing lawnmower on top of it. So that's been helping too. So, okay, thanks, Anna.
Mm-hmm. So along that front,
okay.
I think I sent both of you guys, email this week about or last
mm-hmm.
week. There was a bunch of comments on Facebook, Lake Rivera, because people had gone, and of course, somebody had put a whole bunch of cardboard in there that wasn't smashed down and broken down, and then there was just, then it all got broken down, but there was still so much and all that, and the landscape was probably 4 feet high or whatever, but so basically in 2016, that's when we got the recycle bin down there,
mm-hmm.
and we're charged 25 something a month. That's what the 2016 update said, and I haven't seen an increase in the other since then. They don't identify it on the bill, but and so after seeing all these comments and really thinking about how much online purchasing everybody is doing, and and it's all coming in heavy,
mm-hmm.
heavy duty cardboard and stuff, and I think we should consider at least through the end of January or through first quarter or whatever, that we should consider adding another, doing it twice a week. The $25 is for a month, so it's not that big of a deal.
So it's 25 bucks a month, and that includes dumping once a week?
Yeah. Now, we don't know, and I've sent John an email asking him tell us what a day this is.
Uh-huh.
Is it consistent, and is it really happening once a week? We just don't know at all. And so it feels like if it's $50 more, I'm sure they'd want to charge us more than the 25 from 2016.
Yeah.
Say if it was $50 more a month for a couple of months, we could take care of these big shipping months. I just think people would be a lot happier.
I've been worried about that too. In fact, I'm already starting to see it down there. I think I'm fine with that idea if we have, we're not talking a whole lot of money here, just for the rest of December.
We're fine on something like that. I would love for him to get back to you first about what day he does it and what day he would be adding.
Yeah.
So we could at least have some type of,
No, my suggestion or option to check into is maybe a second dumpster. I have not seen where there has been where they could fill up two recycle dumpsters between the time it's been serviced. So if we had another dumpster, then it's still one trip for them.
Mm-hmm.
Might be the same money.
Okay. Yeah.
It's something to think about.
Average has like a shredded day. We have like a end of the holiday cardboard disposal day.
Right. No, I was thinking along those lines, just a black box flyer, saying, hey, this somehow word it better than I can, but this is a unique privilege for our residents that the city provides. We understand a lot of people aren't going out and shopping, they're online ordering. We've already seen, tons of boxes, just four or five little, please break down your boxes.
Yeah.
If the recycling dumpster is full when you go down there, notify City Hall and just hang on to your cardboard until it's empty.
Yeah.
They also need to know that, I've got the little green bin, the old recycling bin, it's about that tall, and I can just cut that and fill that up, and they'll take that as well.
Well, and that, so part of
comments
on the Facebook page
was that
there was a feeling that they were not picking that up because of COVID. And so then I, picking up those that were at your, next to your bin.
Yep.
And not necessarily the little green one, but just that.
Supposedly the rule is you could put extra cardboard that goes over your bin next to it as long as it's still broken up.
Yep.
someone had written on the Women FOQ page that that had stopped due to COVID is what they assumed. But,
and so, yeah, so he came back, he had to check on it. He said no. And so I thought that that would, like, as far as a black box,
mm-hmm.
actually, people should know that and that they can actually nice and neatly stack it up.
Yep.
And then, but then, of course, John wanted to know addresses of people.
He wants to know addresses that if you put out a stack of cardboard next to your recycling bin and it's not picked up, then he wants a list of those addresses by the next day so that he can make notes about
them. So that gets back into our little...
I mean, then we go back into the back and forth with John with
the little thing on the dirt or whatever.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's a constant thing. But we can put that out and just see what happens.
Yeah, and in the process, remind them that you can buy trash stickers down here for extra trash. Because I've been,
yep.
I use those stickers all the time, and I use my extra recycling deal all the time.
You're a modest citizen.
I need to take a video of me. I take my iPad out from the garage, and I get my knife, and I just go.
Yep. Yeah.
What's this trash sticker cost?
You get a $12.50 for 10 a sheet.
Yeah.
And it's per bag?
Yep.
And so it's actual trash?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Trash overage?
Yeah.
Trash overage is another word of the thing.
Okay.
That's what I had to email him about in my not so kindly worded 50th email to him about the fee we keep getting charged.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I copied you on that one. So, yeah,
I look in the two dumpsters.
Yeah, the price of that.
The
bins. And find out what, just so that we know what day they pick up.
So then we actually know what day they pick up to make sure that, okay, they supposedly pick up on, I know it's not, he's told me before that it's too much work for them to bring all the trucks out on Wednesdays. So
yeah.
I know it's not Wednesday, but whatever other day of the week it is.
Yeah.
So that if they say it's Tuesday and we go there on Wednesday and it's still overflowing, then we know that they have.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I will find that out. And then I wonder if we should, and I'll get pricing on this, but we don't want to wait till next council meeting to decide to do this.
No.
So
I mean, I think the price for talking, you can just go through Aaron.
Yeah, okay. It can be. As long as it seems reasonable compared to what we're paying right now.
If
he says it's $500, then we have a problem per time. But if he says it's $50, then...
And then he did confirm, of course, that he still hasn't come back with a date. He did confirm that they have opened up the curbside pickup.
I know, that may be nice.
Bulk item. And he said, oh, yeah, we could do that. And I can picture now that it will be, let's not do that January 15th.
Yeah, it'll be snowing and icy.
And so it's like, okay, I'm not sure that.
Yeah, that would
get into that.
No, this one, it's like wait until closer to the Fred Brown or whatever, or Thursday-ish time.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think as long as you have that one on the books with them,
yep.
Then we can at least provide people with an answer when they
yes.
say, so is this canceled forever, or we can at least
yep.
know
yep.
we have one scheduled to mark your calendar for.
Yeah, go ahead and get it. Good setup.
And then with, as I mentioned earlier, you know, just driving down the brush and everything, it just hasn't been cleared out for so long, long holiday and you know, renter, it's horrible. And they never cleaned up the north side of Quivira Lane, of Holiday, the north east side of Holiday, where our color is. It still looks like. Looks really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to, because Todd was asking me, well, what's his responsibility, you know, related to those areas? And I said, well, that's the city,
mm-hmm.
and you should be doing this, that, and the other. So I'm going to meet with him, because now that all the leaves are off and stuff, and, you know, they ought to be able to clear them, their staff shouldn't have that much to do once they get through with the golf course. They ought to be able to really clear some of that area out, and they could start off in the spring looking a whole bunch better.
Yeah, this time of year, I think they've got some time, free time where they're looking for projects to do this stuff.
Gail, could you ask him if he can use that, I forgot what that grade machine is, but the one that has a sickle bar attachment, if he could use that sickle bar to clear as far as they can roadside on all of our roads that aren't maintained.
Okay, sure.
Or let Fred drive it.
Okay. I just need to change the little yellow light to red.
Let's see. Kent wanted me to report in that he is personally picking up the, because he doesn't want it to be gone. The water bottle, and he is arranging for a plumber to come out and spend the day at Lake Quivira, and that would be doing plumbing things there. He's already told Dean that would be some plumbing faucets that don't work and all that correctly in the clubhouse, a faucet in our house, and then the thing here. So that'll happen, you know, soon, I mean, before the end of the year,
Yep. Possibly
within the next probably week or two.
Okay. So that's
all.
All right. Thanks, Gil. John, Christy, can you hear us? Do you have anything to report?
Can you hear me?
Very small.
Let's see if I can turn it up.
We can barely hear you.
Try now, John.
Okay.
Do you want to hold your cell phone with your phone?
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah. Call
yeah,
a cell phone. Too, I think that was great just to get people out there, bring the little kids, that way they have to have their parents there, whether they like it or not.
John, was that your idea?
Whose idea was that, John?
No idea.
All I know is I got an email from somebody. I thought maybe Misty was involved or somebody at Q Inc. or the preschool teacher.
Fantastic.
They've been practicing.
Really?
Yeah, it could be a neat little tradition. So, yeah, right. Good job there. Thanks for doing that.
All right. Well, thanks for your host, your MC. So.
Okie doke.
Anyway, that's all I got. I'll go back to my iPad here and turn.
Okay, enjoy San Francisco. Okay, hey, Dave McCullough, do you want to call me as well?
Did John just report on the Christmas tree?
Yep, I thought I heard that. That's the mayor's Christmas tree.
Go ahead, Dave.
And including the yes. Preschool. The preschool.
What do you got?
So I've got, on the gas station, had a good meeting with Terry Cresta, actually yesterday. I kind of feel like I'm cramming for the test, but I did meet with him today. And got the last of the puzzle as far as filling out the fuel log that's required with the state of Kansas, actually Kansas Department of Health and Environment. So I hope by the next mentioned, working with Get Connect Tech on the upgrades to City Hall. Eric's been great. There was a last second curveball sent her way about getting a an official document from the state of Kansas to get this moving forward. So we're on pace to have that installed before the end of the year. So I think she's done a great job on that. And that's really all I have for now.
Okay. Good deal. Yeah, we had an electrician here today that was kind of up in the ceiling, so they got access in there. So he shouldn't have any issues that I can think of.
Set on the handicap door.
That's awesome.
All right. Okay, thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
All right.
The electrician was out here today for the handicap door. But no, he's talking about for the guy who's going to do all the tech work in here.
Oh, okay.
What he's referring to, and I'll give a little bit more background, he had a vendor who is purchasing some of the equipment that is, will be installed in here, that instead of just taking our tax exempt certificate and using it in order to not have to pay taxes, he wanted its own project exemption certificate with the state, which I had only ever had to do those before on road projects
with Herbert.
But I've done a couple of them, but it was very quick and we already got approved by the state. So now anything related to tech upgrades here in the council, Dave Contact has the project exemption certificate that he could just hand them instead.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yep. Sounds good. That's everybody, correct? All right, on the mayor's report, some of the stuff we've kind of talked about. We did get three new furnaces with the new HEPA filters and UV gas hose and all that stuff. We were actually able to replace all three of our furnaces in the process that were 18 years old anyway. So we kind of thought that was a good idea to use that. They weren't compatible with the filter system that we were getting, so it actually worked out really great for us. Audio-visual stuff Dave's working on. Aaron's working on the automatic handicap doors. We're in the process of that. And then that should take us, you know, up to our limit, basically, until we hear otherwise. There was an email, a question about the January meeting date. It's Monday, January 4th, so just after, you know, New Year's and all that. Didn't know if everybody was going to be in town and we wanted to stick with January 4th or if we wanted to move it to the 11th. I don't mind either way. If we go with the 11th, we basically have a city council meeting 3 weeks later on February 1st, so it's going to be a pretty quick turnaround.
And I didn't know until I knew that we had planned a long time ago in June or July our ski trip to Steamboat at the exact same week that we did last year. And then I went online, I sent you that email, and I went online looking at all the various schools. Some schools are out until Thursday of that week, you know, like Bishop, you know, the parochial schools and stuff. But and our my daughter-in-law, Kelly, who booked this thing, she had no idea, because I called her today and said, did you know that the kids are all back in school on Monday or Tuesday, depending on what the school and where they were? She hadn't a clue.
Huh.
And so, which I thought was very interesting, because she says, well, our trip was booked, you know, before all the school stuff started happening. So I just assumed that everybody would have had this issue like we have. You know, can't get our money back, so we're going. But there are some schools here that, you know, a few schools that are people that I can go to that actually are still off. But if everybody else is here, I just won't be able to attend.
No.
Even by Zoom.
No, and that's fine. And that's why I just wanted to, you know, I think Andy might be going to Colorado. I don't know about anybody.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Okay. Then I'd rather just keep it on Monday the 4th.
Cool. The treadmill?
You're not even breaking a sweat.
Walk faster.
Okay, so we'll leave it there. You can call in if you want to, or you can call in just to report if you have any updates.
Yeah,
on. Okay. I was just going to talk about the Christmas tree lighting. I thought that was a good event, good weather, lots of people there, and I do think a lot of it had to do not with the mayor, but with the kids being there. But it was
no offense, but yes, I agree.
It was neat to see a lot of you guys there, so thanks for coming out. And then yard waste dumpsters, we kind of talked about that. But I think with the flyer and looking into adding another recycling bin, pending price, that'll be the way to go. That's all I've got.
I think a general trash flyer would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Mentioning the Oak Ridge stickers that are available, you can put cardboard next to it if you do have an issue, that you always where to call.
Please break down your boxes. If it is full, call City Hall. You know, that would be well. Yeah.
Yes, we pay for your trash.
Yes, we do. Yeah, somehow get that point across. Okay. Any old business?
Come off the resolution and then
no, but Gail, I have a contact for that. That wood removal. Did you want that? It's Alan Eckley, Eckley.
It's who?
Alan.
Oh, Alan.
Eckley, Eckley. 816-830-4152. And his company is called American Walnut. Mm. There you go.
Okay, so no old business for anybody? Okay, on the new business. Item one, consider adopting a resolution for the Kansas Homeland Security Region L Hazard Mitigation Plan. Michelle, you want to help me out on this one?
Sure. Actually, shut up, Erin.
She's going to be our representative.
It's kind of the same type of thing.
This is what I talked to you guys about a long time ago, how they are going to... disaster preparedness. This is brought to us by the Emergency Management Office of Johnson County. How, if there were ever some type of catastrophic event, whether that be tornado, flooding, natural or unnatural, that happens, how, if it affects more than one city, how you would have more bargaining power as a county than if you. Like if Lake Quivira were to call a tree removal service, we would probably pay a higher price than if Johnson County had already pre-negotiated a price. And so they have already talked to Wyandotte County. Everyone is in agreement that we can be in this agreement with them, that even if the disaster were to happen in Wyandotte, we could still use this bargaining power. And so it eventually is like we will have a list of approved contractors that we could already pick and choose from, who already have negotiated rates, so that someone cannot come in at the last minute and take advantage of us if we were in a situation where we needed something done quickly. Does that kind of make sense? Mm-hmm. We remember some of been a while ago, but.
The other benefits to that too is there's a guarantee, at least there should be a guarantee service. So, Jim's Tree Service, if they're on the contract, they can't turn us down to come take care of our emergency situation.
And it gives any of the cities that are participating in this, which everyone in Johnson County is participating in it, it gives them that first contact so that we would not be in a list behind some of these other places, that we would be one of the first priorities of these companies that have already been pre-approved on this list.
Is it both for Wyandotte and Johnson County?
So this is Johnson County's, but they have talked to Wyandotte, and Wyandotte is okay with us being in this, even for the parts of our county that fall in Wyandotte.
I guess I didn't see where this one said it. What the other one says Johnson County, but so we're talking about the Homeland Security?
Yeah.
Yes. I
must have missed that.
Yeah, so it essentially goes through, most of where, what we're talking about here is through FEMA. So anything that's would be asking for like the federal money for or something like that.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay.
Okay. So we need to decide if we want to adopt this resolution. Do we need a number for it? No?
Kathy will sign it once you approve it.
Okay.
This is on the Johnson County agreement?
Yes.
Okay. And
Karen?
The mitigation.
The mitigation.
Yes.
The
mitigation, yes. Yep.
And
is that everything we were just discussing? Because I got flipped around on that.
Yep,
yes.
Sorry.
Mitigation.
So
okay.
There was, you mentioned tree. Would it be if something weird happens?
Like if a tornado were to occur and our roadways would be completely blocked because of fallen trees.
So that's
then
Brady,
we would go
Aaron, Fred, someone could just make, start making calls and make things happen.
We would essentially just tell the county and then the county would take care of it pretty much for us.
Kind of like we were talking about earlier with Bill Cole, it would be an incident command would be set up and at a tornado label that would be a countywide incident command and those calls would most likely come from whoever the incident commander is in that. If it were very small scale, then it would probably be just me. But
mm-hmm.
on a tornado event, it's going to be a lot more than just me. So, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds pretty cool to me. Dave McCullough's calling in. Hold on. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I just had a question. If this is a countywide situation and it's an emergency, is there any type of pecking order as far as which city would get the preferential treatment?
I think the point of this is that it would just be, they wouldn't look at it as a city, but if there were more than one city that were involved in Johnson County, I think it would just be that whatever they could get to first. I think this would just give us being a part of Johnson County as opposed to just being the city of Lake Quivira. So if something happened, say, that affected Lake Quivira and Shawnee, instead of them automatically going to Shawnee first, since they're the larger city, they would look at the situation as a whole and say, okay, where in the county would it be most important for us to go?
But I still don't see, when I read this, we keep talking about this being county related.
Yeah.
And it's where does it say that?
It's a region, and that region incorporates for
yeah.
Okay,
county.
So
it's region
the
L.
Region L.
Did you get that, Dave? Does that make
it's
sense?
It's how the U.S. will look at it under, like, the,
yes.
how FEMA considers this area.
Oh, I see. Region L.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Well, makes sense to me. A little insurance, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay, we just need to pass it, so I'd entertain a motion to.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt the resolution for the Kansas Homeland Security Region L Hazard Mitigation Plan.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, got Andy with the motion, Greg second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
They're going thumbs up. Any opposed? Okay, resolution passes. Dave McCullough again. Hello, Dave.
I'm sorry. Underneath it says it's region G and the heading is region L.
It does. I'm seeing that right now.
Which way is it end up being?
And it also says region L in the middle of the page.
Oh, let me go back to that because we did talk about that.
They had both referenced in there and then we finally did get clarification on what
yep. It should say region L throughout. I think G was a typo left over from the state template that was sent to the county. Please make any changes necessary.
Okay.
So it should say L for all of them.
Yep, it should say L.
Okay.
Okay.
Just want to make sure we're in the right region.
Yep.
Is there a typo in it? Where is
that?
In
I.
In
I.
I think it's in the body.
It mentions L in the body a couple times and the heading, and then the only time it mentions G is at the bottom, second to last,
okay.
Under number one.
So if you can just direct Kathy to make that change before executing it. Could you make note of that in the minutes, Kathy?
So go ahead and...
Kathy, where at the bottom where it says, now therefore be it resolved by the governing body of the city of Lake Lavera, under number one, it says Region G, but it should say Region L.
Good catch.
That was a test to see if anyone was paying attention.
Yes, it was.
Kudos to Dave.
Yeah.
Okay. On to number two, consider government enforcement services agreement for Johnson County local health office orders and county board of health orders by and between Johnson County, Kansas and the city of Lake Lavera, Kansas.
You're going to take this, Aaron?
Is this?
You wouldn't, yeah, I can jump in, but if you, yeah.
Is this the one where you're the representative?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. You
can. And Aaron, Alan, if you want to start, I can jump in either way.
I think this kind of came about after the governor came out and changed her orders a couple of weeks ago, where she wanted each either county to, like, she wanted everyone to have their own adoption for following the health rules.
Including enforcement.
Yes. And so, for example, like, Leavenworth County was one of the only ones in the area who did not opt to follow through with the mask, but Johnson County is. This is just saying that we agree with what Johnson County is saying and that we agree that we have our police force for them if they need to use them for any type of enforcement type activity.
And the county can also come in and enforce within the city boundaries.
Yeah.
Right.
But we would not be prosecuting violations. Prior, they did not even have the enforcement mechanism in here. By the most recent health order, they said they'll now be prosecuting violations in the Johnson County Court,
right,
which is different than district court. It's more typically kind of code cases is what they usually take through there. So they will now prosecute these violations in county court. This agreement allows them to come into the city limits and basically enforce that order within the city limits. If we didn't have this agreement, the county could not come within the city limits. It would only be in the unincorporated area since they can enforce the order. So this agreement, which they're doing with each of the cities in the county, they can now come into our city limits and enforce this. Doesn't go through our court, goes through their county court. They keep the fines. They're responsible for prosecution. They're responsible for providing the witnesses, et cetera.
Just into Johnson County, though.
Yeah, how does this play with, you know, we've got our two counties, and we know that Wyandotte County doesn't let it, has us wear masks to play tennis, and that's still within the city of Lake Quivira. We're following Johnson County's.
Well, right now, anything that occurs within Johnson County is subject to the health order issued by Johnson County. So Johnson County issued an order. They now have the ability to enforce it in the unincorporated areas, and they're asking cities to give them the authority and permission as such to come within the city limits. And so it would only be in the part of the city that's within Johnson County.
Oh, okay.
They would not do anything having anything to do with the purpose in Wyandotte County.
Yes.
That's completely separate.
Correct.
Okay, so why do we want it? I just don't understand. Why would we want this?
Because if we do not make this kind of agreement with Johnson County, then we're going to have to take that responsibility. We would have to pass something that says we are making the Johnson County health order the rule of law within the city limits of Lake Quivira. We would prosecute it.
That's our police officers would be able to.
They would have to be enforcing it.
Yeah.
Our prosecutor and judge would be handling it. We would be handling the court case. It makes it a streamlined process and it's consistent from city to city to city to city, and also within the unincorporated area. So basically, if you have someone in Johnson County that violates the order on one side of the street when they're in one city, and then they do it on the other side of the street in a different city, they're going to be treated the same. It's going to go through the exact same court process. It's going to be handled the same way as opposed to each city handling it however they so choose.
And is this like any health, is this has to do with all health order, or is it specifically for like COVID?
It's COVID right now. Currently it is, let me find my health order number.
Is that the resolution 108-20?
Yes. Yes.
The one established on November 19th,
2020.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so everything that's involved in that order will now be enforceable within the city limits of Lake Quivira. city that enters into this agreement. I don't know, Aaron, have you heard anybody not doing this?
Nope.
I would, I'd be a little surprised if you didn't, just because nobody's going to want to take on that.
Like, for an extreme example, if someone were to have a house party and they were to have 600 people at it and they weren't wearing masks and they were something like that, if we were not in this, then that would fall on Fred and his crew.
So, every single one of them.
Okay, so.
To go to an extreme.
Right. So I don't know exactly what's in the current health order.
Trying to go over the 500 person.
I mean, we got two cars.
Out of
state. But seriously, though, to kind of, I'm not talking 500 people, and I don't know what's in the current health orders right now, but what if somebody does have family over and friends, and they, you know, there's 60 people, and you're not supposed to have that many people? And a neighbor is able then to complain or call a police officer, whether it's Fred or Johnson County.
Who would be the sheriff's department?
Either way, somebody has to respond and enforce it.
We would,
as of today, right now,
we would have to draft our own ordinance to come up with our
fines.
Enforcement and fines, and it would.
Yeah.
It would. Go to the municipal court level. We would add the Kathy's court case, court docket. It would increase significantly if we had that case. Whereas Johnson County is going to take care of this basically on our behalf. So it's all going to be handled as a civil type case, a non-criminal offense to the Johnson County courts. I fully support it. If that helps you in making this decision, we do not have the staffing and capability of either a very large event or multiple events.
Right.
Where it's going to be the code enforcement officer's responsibility, you will be glad to assist if they need that. But again, we're typically only one person on duty.
So then do you contact, who do they,
it can happen a number of ways. I mean, they're not going to be knocking on people's doors and checking on them.
Right.
But if there is an extreme situation, then it might make sense for us to contact them. It might make sense for us to get involved. The goal, of course, is trying to reduce the spread of this pandemic and to comply with Johnson County's health order. So again, we're not going to be extreme. County's not going to be extreme, but it's an extreme situation. And I feel like as a city, we've got a responsibility to work with the county. So, you know, the county could come out, like I say, I mean, someone could call and complain and say, I'm sick and tired. My neighbor's having a party every other weekend and having 100 people there. And then I'm sitting here at home. It absolutely could happen like that.
Is the number like 20 or is it 100?
I think right now.
It changes all the time.
Yeah. And that's correct.
Yeah.
That is absolutely correct. And I think that there is that element in this agreement. And maybe let me jump to that for a minute. I was trying to pull up the resolution to see what it is currently. I'm trying to remember. I feel like Johnson County was it 50?
I thought it was 50, but that's what I'm looking for as well.
And then there's also there's an element of a capacity, like a percentage of the capacity.
50%.
And certain events can get exceptions if they go through a certain process and show that they're following. I mean,
so
it's convoluted.
We have houses in Johnson County.
I'm sorry.
We only have houses in Johnson County,
right? Well, we've got the Nature Center, which there's meetings there. So.
Okay.
And how long is this agreement good for?
There is no end date on this. So basically, both parties can choose at any time to terminate it.
Okay.
So if you all aren't liking the way they're handling it, you can terminate it.
Gotcha.
But I do want to point something out, though. If you look at section, I feel like it's number one. It's section one. This agreement specifically references resolution 108-20, which is the current health order that is in effect, which, as you all have indicated, can change any time if there's a need for it, either direction. The way this is currently, and I reached out to Cindy Dunham, she's the interim chief counsel for the county right now. I have not heard back from her, but I know it's because she's swamped. Because I kind of want wanted to know how she wanted this, what works best for the county.
Yeah.
Because the way, if you just approve this agreement as is, then anytime there was a new help order, we would need to enter into a new agreement. And so that would either mean waiting until the next month for the next council meeting or having a special meeting specific for that. That is one way to handle it. Another way, it says in here, the parties agree, the form is going to say subsequent agreement to include amendments to the help order. I'm trying to find the language. Within the scope of this agreement will be as authorized by the city's governing body and sole discretion. This is where I kind of want to get a feel from her on what her preference is. We can either go through the process of having a new agreement or an amendment to the agreement every time there's a new help order, or you as a council can authorize Aaron to sign off on those amendments on your behalf, so long as she's just simply agreeing that they can continue the same enforcement under a new health order, and so long as the health order is specific to COVID-related type things. You know, in case they come out with some crazy health order that has nothing to do with anything you all would expect under this agreement, then that would not be something she'd be authorized to do. But as long as it's the same substance, same subject matter as what Resolution 108-20 is, then basically you could authorize her to do that so there's not that 1 month wait time or special meeting. But it is ultimately up to you. If that's something you're uncomfortable with, if you don't know what the future health orders are going to look like, that's completely reasonable to say, we want to look at every single health order before we agree to let Johnson County come in and prosecute violations through the county court system. So that is something you kind of do need to decide tonight. Not only do you want this agreement, but also do you want to allow Aaron to authorize future amendments under new orders, or if that's something you all would want to consider as a body each time. Now, just practically speaking, if you all hear that a health order comes out and you're like, whoa, that's nothing like we really were expecting based on what we agreed to last time, that's a quick phone call to Aaron that says, we want a special meeting, please don't sign that.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you'd be giving her authority to here tonight if you did that, but from a practical matter, you would absolutely want to give her a call and say, let's make that call. We want to talk about it as a group, as a body. So that's just another thing. Again, the reason I think they want that in place is for cities just like ours are only meeting once a month. And frankly, even the ones that are meeting every 2 weeks, I mean, really, a lot can change in 2 weeks.
Hey, John, did you have some questions? So essentially, every time there's a new health order, which could be every week, every 2 weeks, you never know, we have the right to revoke that agreement.
Right. You have to meet and terminate
the agreement. Then that puts a lot of onus on Aaron to understand the scope of it, the implications to us, and all that. So.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to put that on her, because you're right, that is a lot of responsibility, especially if they start changing a lot. If it's not just a matter of reducing it from 50 to 40, you know, but if it does become something much more complex from a medical standpoint, if you don't want to do that, you could still approve this agreement and then just know that every time a new health order comes down,
then we would just go ahead and call a meeting to go ahead and have you guys consider that. We provide you a copy of the order, which I apologize, I should have done that tonight.
I think based off of what Michelle and I have discussed at first, the reason why I was the appointed party in the first place is because I'm the one who gets contacted by the county in the first place. And then I have the calls that are related to it, where or the FAQ documents or any of the other things that come out associated with it. The one for the current one, I found it and I can email it out to everyone for the public health order that this is referring to. The only thing that is, or the one thing that is really, really positive about it, especially for Lake Riviera, is the fact that the clubhouse or anything queuing related, for the most part, does not fall into it, so that this isn't policing that or anything like it. Most of the items that fall under the health order that is in question related to this contract have to do with businesses, things like that. The only one that would really apply to homes or nature center type of items that would fall within Johnson County is the indoors or outdoors shall be limited to 50 total individuals or 50% of the capacity permitted under applicable fire code.
Gotcha. John, did you get all that? Okay, and so you did hear that anytime there's a new health order, we have the right to revoke that, and we can leave it up to Aaron, or we can have a special meeting after every new health order and decide whether or not we want to continue with the contract or not.
What I was just kind of touching on, I don't have an issue with it. I feel like if it was something that I ever felt questioned or questionable about, then, or if it was something that affected our city more than most of these other ones, then of course I would talk to all of the elected officials about it before making that choice. Normally it's never something that is, I would not just sign us into something without first discussing that.
Yeah, especially something major.
Correct.
Yeah, and she's on these calls all the time, and so she'll just give me a simple text message heads up, like, hey, this is kind of what they're talking about. This is the direction they're going. So if that were the case, we could just request Aaron, you know, notify us of any significant changes, any new changes, and then we can decide if we want to meet.
As well as, you know, if I see anything that raises any red flags on my end, I'm going to voice my opinion.
Yeah, and Fred just said the same thing. If he sees any red flags on his end, he's going to voice his opinion as well.
I spoke with Fred about this when this one first came out, and he was like, okay, well, yeah, of course I'd rather us enter into it with Johnson County, because otherwise I don't want to be the one who is having to do all of this myself.
Right.
Well, and just to clarify, too, I don't think their intention is to be heavy-handed, because even the agreement itself, Section 6, talks about asking the city to be involved in education.
Yes.
And so I think it's going to be a situation where it's either really dangerous or it's someone that just keeps repeatedly violating that we're talking about. And as Aaron indicated, with a lot of cities, we're probably talking businesses more, because they're weighing the risk of, oh, am I going to get prosecuted versus how much money am I going to make if I violate. I have more people in here than I should. So it's certainly be more applicable to those, but at the same time, I mean, they're asking us to, I mean, it's in the agreement, and then it also talks about what will happen, you know, prior to issuing a citation. You know, the city's going to be involved in providing all the documents, and the city's going to be very involved in that. But I mean, even when they sent this information to Aaron, there were a couple attachments that were like, you know, information sheets for businesses, information sheets, I think, restaurants, if I remember right, Aaron.
So, one of the parts that made this first come about is there is a restaurant in Mission in particular that the owner has refused to make any of his employees wear masks. She doesn't want to make people who come into the restaurant wear masks. Has been just a repeat offender to the point where the Mission Police Department was being called away from other jobs that they should have been focusing on, constantly having to answer these questions of the public. Why is this restaurant allowed to do this?
And so without another reinforcement technique, they were really struggling.
Yeah.
This kind of gives them that.
Hey, Dave, you just called in. Do you have a question?
Well, I lost the Zoom view of the council and I can't hear anything. So that's one of the reasons I called in. So I'm not sure why you're here.
The laptop lost power.
But I just thought I'd chime in on this since I'm in favor of this. One of the things that stood out was that the county would bear the cost of this, all expenses necessary. The said enforcement shall be paid and provided by the county. I think that helps us in looking at the ordinance itself from Johnson County. This is primarily about social distancing, and I think it's a lot of the requirements that are already in place through Q Inc. Primarily, but you know, it's limiting gatherings to 50 people. It just seems like this is kind of the lot of the common sense COVID mitigation things that are in place. So that's my two cents. And it's okay, I'd like to stay on the phone since I lost the Zoom meeting.
Yes, that's fine.
I'll just mute myself, but that's my chime in.
Okay. Well, any other comments or questions? John, you had talked about delaying voting about this tonight. Personally, I'd rather.
I'm comfortable with it and voting for it.
Okay, I was just gonna say I'd prefer to vote on it either way tonight. So if we're ready to do that.
Okay, so we're voting on this, and then part of this is that Aaron, this document that stands as it is. And as Aaron receives new updates, if in fact there's something that seems totally.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that doesn't have to be. You can vote on just this document with this resolution, and then we can vote on the next one when it comes up.
So, is that what?
So there's like two different options.
Or we can do two motions tonight. We vote on this.
Yep.
And then we vote on whether or not we want Aaron to be our representative.
To let this, the next time she gets an order,
correct.
And she says, yeah, it sounds good, and so we don't have to have a meeting.
Correct.
For example, if this one expires, I think it goes through like January 30th, but if for some reason it expired December 15th, but they saw on December 15th, ooh, things are still bad, we want to just continue it, then yes, I would, in that case. Yeah, we're okay with continuing it.
Yeah.
But if they come back on January 30th and they say, we're not only going to do this, but we're going to put more restrictions on it, then, of course, then I would come back to everyone.
Yeah.
Well, and so just to clarify, so if you vote yes for the initial motion approving this agreement, but you vote no for the second one authorizing Aaron, then basically what that means then is this would be in place. It would allow the county to come in and enforce. It would encourage the educational side of it. But then if another order comes down, then we'd call a quick meeting. And honestly, it could be by Zoom if you wanted it to be, to approve that. So it would have it in place, but it would allow you all to monitor and manage it a little bit more from your perspective as opposed to putting that just in Aaron's shoes, Aaron's hands, whatever you want to call it. Basically, you know, giving her that responsibility. So that's kind of...
And a lot of the educational side we're already doing, because they've been sending us things. I get items from Johnson County that I'll forward to Kathy fairly often that she'll share on our social media page.
Yeah.
Mostly about
and personally, I'm comfortable with Erin, and she has volunteered to do this if elected, but it's up to the council.
I do not mind having that responsibility, and I also am not offended at all if every time something new happens, you want it to come back to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, we will terminate this agreement once the whole COVID craziness is over. Go away.
Okay.
Well, and I guess to clarify, so I missed that beginning push notification. So when there's a change to the health order, Is that something you're putting out on the web, on social media?
No, if it's like promotional educational material.
Oh, okay.
So if it's like a flyer about the hand washing, or if it's
the
new guidelines that were just passed down is the one that I've gotten recently that I still need to send to Kathy about. If you do get a, you've been exposed to someone and you test after day five, how they've kind of changed the quarantine timeline, then that's something we put out. In the beginning, it was symptoms of when to monitor and when to get tested. It was age-related. It was hand washing. It was the new one is, I can't even think. They each have like a tagline that goes along with it. It's like, stop the spread, chaos, or something like that.
Well, I do think if there is a new health order, Annie, to your point, we could send that out.
Yeah.
On our notifier as an article, just a link. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it might be. I mean, I don't know. I guess I feel like sometimes I'm sort of out of sight. Like if I don't, if I'm not going, I didn't go to Kansas. I didn't attend, even though you invited. So it might be nice for people like me who aren't paying that close attention to be able to get a push notification or, hey, this is what changed or.
Absolutely. I didn't want to shove COVID like under our faces. So I'll also send her ones that's like, a reminder, the tornado siren is tested today, or things like that.
But I do think it's the more information. We have that obligation.
Mm-hmm.
And just because we're a small city doesn't mean that we don't still have that obligation to our residents. So I almost like this a little bit better because it makes it more relevant, more in our face, literally.
John, you had one more comment? Hey, John?
Okay, yeah, I'm here. Sorry, I got my earbuds in because I can hear some people better on Zoom and my phone, and so it's I'm out with the earbuds on the Zoom, back to the phone, and so on and so forth. So, anyway,
she can include the entire order and everything in there, so Kathy can.
Perfect.
Okay?
Yeah, I think people won't understand it, and as we have learned, you know, there may be a citizen or two that if they don't have a complete total understanding, they can make a mess of it.
One letter.
Yeah. I'll follow you there, but okay, thank you. All right. Any more discussion? Where's everybody leaning? It sounds to me like everybody is okay with this and wants to pass it. So then the only other thing would be, is Aaron our representative, our liaison? Or do we want to have to possibly meet whenever there's a new health order? You know my feelings.
I'm in favor of we're in a unique situation in our city, you know, where I would say some cities could really get themselves in trouble, and we're watching it on the news.
Yeah.
You know, and but this isn't going to be that.
No, and my question was just more, Aaron, if you were willing to take that on, because to me it felt big. So if you're okay, and that we still have that, you know, you can always come to the council.
Oh my goodness, yes. So, and I hope you know that I would, for sure.
If you were feeling kind of like, I don't, you know.
If there was ever a question, then there's not a question.
And,
absolutely.
And Fred as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I feel that was where my question was, whether Aaron wanted that.
Well, and like Brady had said, I tried to update him anytime that something new I hear is coming down the pipeline. Hey, this is what this is. And I do a personal update for him for this is how it's related to youth sports, or this is how it's related to going out to eat. This is how it'll affect our city, if at all. That kind of thing. Or if something comes through for Johnson and I haven't heard anything for Wyandotte, then it's kind of like, okay, test the rumor mill. What have you heard from the Wyandotte side?
Yeah.
Kind of staying in communication.
Yep.
Yep. And same with Fred.
Yep.
If something's ever come up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And you all would have the option of ratifying her action at the next council meeting. So that would kind of give you an opportunity to talk about it a little bit more. Aaron can update you on anything else. And then you can say, yep, let's give the blessing of the council and then go ahead and kind of ratify that. One more thing I did just think of, if we hear back from the county, and we may want to contact your contact as well to just kind of loop him in rather than just sending,
yep,
because I was just looking back through that. You know, she's like, this isn't going the way I thought. She may at some point say, I just want everything to go back through the councils. I mean, that may be something that may just get to be too big of a pain for her trying to track all that. So in that case, then we'll just be bringing everything back to you all anyway.
Yep.
And that would not require a change of direction necessarily, other than it would just end up on your agenda or we'd call a special meeting each time.
Okay. All right. Well, I would entertain a motion to approve this agreement.
I'll try and make a motion.
You can do it.
I'd like to make a motion to approve Government Forest Service Agreement for Johnson County Local Health Office Orders and County Board of Health Orders by and between Johnson County and City of Mecklenburg.
Okay, I got a motion?
A second.
Got a second from Gail. Okay, any discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. And how do we want to, if somebody would like to make a motion as far as Aaron being our representative, what's the best?
I would say.
That's good. What about?
It's going to need to be moved to designate Aaron as the liaison as a point of contact under the agreement, which just as a side note, that's for section 3. But then also authorize her to approve amendments to the agreement upon adoption of updated health orders. I get this copy. So long as they are consistent with the topics covered by, I'll give this to you later, Health Order 002-20 and Resolution 108-20. Anybody want to repeat that? I'll give you
Aaron, I guess, or
John, you want to say that again?
So moved.
I'd like to make a motion to designate Aaron as our liaison under the agreement. Do I need to read the whole agreement?
No.
Authorize her to approve any amendments. You can start moving pretty fast.
Sorry.
Resolution 108-20 again.
Well, so what was the last thing you just said?
Authorized to approve the amendments
to subsequent updated health orders, so long as such orders are consistent with, and it's Health Order 002-20 and Resolution 108-20.
Can I claim that as my own?
You bet.
That's my motion.
Okay, we've got a motion from Greg. Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay, Annie seconds. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion passes.
And then, Kathy, if you could just make a note in the minutes that, you know, there's the understanding that if Aaron builds this outside the scope of the original order and the resolution, that will be brought back to the council.
Yeah. Okay. Any reason for an executive session?
Michelle, can you explain real quick, or if you can't, that's fine too. Out of my own curiosity, why we are doing this for Johnson County and why we are not for Wyandotte.
Wyandotte County has an
house to do. So if there were to be an incident at the clubhouse, say, for example, and just using that since that is the closest thing we have to like a public building, then we would be responsible for prosecuting, exploring,
dragging into Johnson
all
County.
Of the above.
I probably need to read that word a little bit better than Wyandotte County. I've read through it,
and I can't see any specific.
I'm trying to remember if office. I don't recall what they talk about from an enforcement standpoint.
It says continued same enforcement from the last, same from the last, same from the last, same from the last. So I think, in other words, it's going back to maybe an original one way back in April-ish, but I'm not positive.
Well, can I stop you guys for 1 second?
Yeah.
Can we, is there any reason for an executive session?
No.
Can this discussion, can you guys have a discussion after the meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
My motion to adjourn.
That motion from Gail, second from Greg. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, meeting adjourned. Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No.